American novelist Sarah Dessen once wrote, "There is just something obvious about emptiness. Even when you try to convince yourself otherwise, how true this is. Emptiness brings great pain in our lives. It brings upon us what I call the four H's: hunger, hurt, hate, and humiliation. Hunger, hurt, hate, and humiliation. And yet, in our feverish attempt to satisfy these empty spaces in our lives, we keep taking hold of those things that let us down. We keep pressing them into those empty spaces. And what we discover is that in the end, we're more empty than when we began. In the ancient days, there was a graybeard who opined about this dilemma for us. This is what the man said: "The wicked man writhes in pain all his days. Let him not trust in emptiness, deceiving himself, for emptiness will be his payment." Indeed, it will. In a different era, another man opined about emptiness in a letter to some friends living in the great city of Rome. A missionary named Paul penned these familiar words. "All have sinned," Paul wrote, "and fallen short of the glory of God." Many of us believers are familiar with the first part of that. All of us have sinned. But we gloss over the second part of the statement about falling short of the glory of God. And yet, the second defines the first. In effect, what Paul is communicating is this: our effort to reach the glory of God, the beauty, the majesty, the splendor, or as the ancient Hebrew people would think, the weightiness of God. In our effort to reach this, we have fallen short. We have come up empty-handed. Emptiness. It defines us. It's obvious. The living God knows this about you and me. The living God sees this reality within us. And what I want you to hear is that the living God, in knowing and in seeing, deeply loves us. Deeply loves you. He loves you. Whether you are the most seasoned saint or one for whom Christ is a stranger, he loves you. He loves you. The scriptures attest to this, telling us God so loved the world, what would he do? That he sent his only son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The scriptures tell us God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, coming up empty-handed, Christ died for us. Indeed, he did. Yes, he did. God in Christ emptied himself so as to fill the empty spaces within our lives. to fill the empty space. In these recent months, this church family has explored one of those passages of Scripture so rich, so multi-layered that we couldn't possibly break it down completely. We've looked at one of those passages that affirms that God in Christ emptied himself for us. The Apostle Paul popularized this ancient Christian hymn. Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. That is to say, made himself nothing. That is to say, he set aside his privilege. He set aside his glory, taking the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The mighty, holy, splendorous God of the ages emptied himself, set aside his glory and his privilege, took the form of a slave, indeed, a condemned criminal, and as such, died on a cross where you and I should have been. Because we fall short, we are empty-handed. But he was in our place, and with his shed blood, he washes us clean so that we can then be made full. With his death, he purchased for you and for me so great a salvation. It is unheard of that sinners like us could find such hope, and yet in Christ it's possible. With his death, he purchased so great a salvation, manifesting itself through a variety of eternal gifts. One gift is this: with his shed blood, he purchased for you passage, movement, a transition, passage from a place of shame to a place of honor, passage from a place of fear to a place of power. With his blood, he purchased passage for you from a place of filth to a place of cleanliness and purity. With his shed blood, he purchased passage for you from condemnation to the righteousness available because of the work of Christ. Forgiveness of sin, reconciliation with God. This because God in Christ emptied himself for you. His death has purchased new life for you, salvation for you and for me. And his lifeless body was placed in a borrowed tomb there in the city of Jerusalem. But that's not the end of the story. This one who saw our emptiness and therefore emptied himself for us, well, he emptied the tomb as a resurrected man. Death did not hold him back. Death did not keep him down. On a glorious Sunday morning, as the sun was rising, Christ the King sat up from that stone slab and walked out of an now opened tomb into the morning sunshine, resurrected, alive. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. God saw our emptiness, so he emptied himself unto death. That didn't hold him back. Now the tomb is empty. Empty, empty, empty. The Gentile historian Luke helps us to process what happened. Luke puts it this way. Listen carefully to these words. Luke describes that on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not see the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Our Lord God Almighty, who emptied himself unto death, has risen and now emptied that tomb." And that empty tomb matters to you and to me. For what that empty tomb assures us of are a handful of remarkable gifts meriting a moment's attention. That empty tomb assures you and me something extraordinary. That empty tomb assures us that God is satisfied in the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. That empty tomb assures us that God is satisfied with that work. He is satisfied with the legitimacy of what Jesus did at the cross for you and for me. God is satisfied that sin has been taken care of. In that same letter to his Roman friends, the Apostle Paul characterizes this satisfaction in this manner. For Paul says that we who believe in Christ are declared righteous. He goes on to say, our faith is counted to us as righteousness. It will be counted to us who believe in Christ, who believe that God raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Big words that imply that Jesus died for our sin and was raised so that the Father would be satisfied, that we would be justified, and that God could freely and joyfully declare us righteous in his eyes. It's proof that the work of Christ was legitimate there at that cross. And yet another letter to the friends living in that great metropolis known as Corinth, the Apostle Paul puts forward these particular words regarding this particular truth. He says very clearly, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. The converse of that is, if Christ has been raised, we are not any longer bound by our sin. And that implies God is satisfied in the legitimacy of what Christ did at the cross. Sin is paid for. It is done. The mission finished. We are redeemed. The empty tomb assures us of this, but the empty tomb assures us of yet another thing. The empty tomb assures us that we who belong to Christ have everlasting life right there at our hands. We have everlasting life. The empty tomb displays that Christ rose from the dead to a brand new life. And that implies that we who are with Christ go with him to that brand new life. To the Corinthian friends, the Apostle Paul puts forward these words. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. And the beauty of what the Apostle Paul is saying is, because of the empty tomb, when we belong to Christ, we have everlasting life. And what you and I need to hear from that is this: sin and Satan and death have no eternal power on us any longer, because Christ walked out of that tomb and that tomb is empty. He secures for us with his resurrected life, new life, eternal life. The empty tomb assures us of that. And the empty tomb assures us that we who had been empty shall, because of Christ, be made full. The empty tomb assures us that we who are found empty in Christ are made full. The last few verses of that glorious resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. Those last few verses underscore this, where the Apostle Paul pens, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And in the ancient language in which Paul pens this, that word for vain means empty. And so it is because of the resurrection, because of the empty tomb, we have victory in Christ Jesus. And when we are in Christ Jesus, then we do not live empty. He makes us full. The one who saw us in our emptiness emptied himself even unto death, so that our salvation can be purchased by his shed blood. And lest we think the story ends there, that lifeless corpse was placed in a borrowed tomb, and that tomb became empty. Empty, 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 so that we may be made full. The work of Christ accomplishes this. Some of you say, "Pastor, that quote of Sarah Dessen's rings true to me. It is obvious my emptiness. Try as I might to convince myself otherwise." But what I'm hearing you say, Pastor, is this: that I don't need to be empty because of the work of Jesus Christ. What I'm hearing you say is that the glorious God emptied himself by setting aside his privilege, and he died on my behalf and paid the penalty of my sin. And as if that were not enough, he rose from the dead. That tomb became empty so then I could be declared righteous in the eyes of God, so that I could have life everlasting, and so I could be made full. You're telling me that's who this Jesus is, and I'm saying that's exactly who this Jesus is. And you say to me, "Pastor, I want that in my life. I want the empty space to be made full by this Jesus and all that he purchased for me." And I say to you, listen, I say to you, then acknowledge that you keep coming up empty-handed before a holy God. Acknowledge the sin, repent of it, the reality of it, acknowledge it. And I say to you, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Believe him, believe who he is, believe what he's done. And then I say to you, call on him and declare him as your Savior and as your Master. Call on him, declare him as such, your Savior, your Lord. By faith, by belief, call on him. And then I say to you, determine to live for him. Live for him all your days. And then I say to you, exalt him with your life. Exalt him with your life. And then I say to you, glorify him with every fiber of your being. This is the great joy for we who are the redeemed. We who have been purchased. We who have called on Christ. And you can tell him right now. You can tell him right now, I'm tired of being empty and I want to be made full. Let's do that together. And so Father God, I'm hearing that you in Christ have made it possible for me, one who is empty, to be made full. One who keeps falling short to be made full. And so, Father God, I ask you humbly, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come into my life. I confess to you, I'm a sinner. I come up empty-handed against your glory. It leaves me empty. I acknowledge this. Today, Easter Sunday, 2017, oh God, I believe this Jesus. I believe in him. I believe who he is and what he has done for me. For me. And I call on him to be my Savior. Father, right now I call on you. Oh God, save me. Be my Lord. And I choose to follow you. Oh God of heaven, I declare it so. Come into my life and make me new and make me full. Beginning now.